Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello, welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And today, our very special guest, all the way from France, have I pronounced that right?
That's roughly right.
It's Patrick Garrett, have I pronounced that right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
Oh, we're winning. So, Pat, you're a journalist, you're an author, you're an expat, and a father of three.
I'm all those things.
Oh,
that is astonishing.
Of those things, what is the most challenging, let's say challenging?
Father of three, probably. I'd say that's the most challenging thing. But expat is also very challenging. Being an author is extremely challenging. I'm pretty challenged.
You're an all-round.
You're just constantly climbing up
just
a mountain.
It's a fight, Helen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It never ends.
Good, well, this is going to be a very jolly podcast.
That's right, sure. There's no walking down easy street for Patrick. That's right. I don't want two kids, yeah. I want three. I don't want to live in a country where I speak my own language.
Well, at least you moved to a country where, like, you know, people speak proper Queen's English, isn't it?
That's right. I was speaking to my four-year-old today, and he said, oh, my teacher speaks Polish. And I said, that's very good. He speaks two languages. You only speak one. He said, no, I speak Australian as well. It's like, all right. Have that.
So, Pat, to kick us off, tell us about your family.
I'm married to Fiona. I've got a daughter, Meredith, who's 9. She's 10 next month. And I've got a twin 7-year-old boys.
And you and I have known each other a long, long time. I think more than 10 years. And I vaguely remember you finding out you had twins on the way. And it was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
It was like the woman that was doing the
scan.
The scan. That's it. You know, the camera.
You've been in France
the belly
too long.
Thing, that's it. You know? She nearly fell off a chair. Like, she did. She couldn't believe it. She was really happy.
What? Had she never seen, like, no, oh,
like,
a
like she just sort of,
oh,
like,
holy
she,
fuck.
She fiddled around a bit, and the sort of first baby moved out of the way, and there was another face, and she went, and Fiona was just like, what, is it two? And she just went, like, yeah, she looked, like, really, really happy. And then, like, the sort of, I think the stunned expressions crossed her face, and she went, okay. Maybe I shouldn't be like amazingly enthusiastic in case it's some kind of like horrible piece of news, but it actually wasn't. It was really, really happy. But we were very shocked.
Yeah.
We were very, very shocked.
So were you still living in England then?
Yeah, we were living in the south of England in Worthing.
And you thought, look, we've already got a child. We've got two children on the way simultaneously. We should move to a foreign country. We should pick up all our belongings and our entire life and fuck off to France.
I don't think my wife will actually ever forgive me.
Was it your
it,
idea?
Really.
Was it your plan?
I was pushing for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been working in the loft for a year, and Fiona and I had been sleeping on a sofa bed in the living room because we were living in a 2-bed flat.
Mm.
And, like, you know, when I say, like, I was working in the loft, it wasn't like, you know, a nice conversion or whatever. Like, I just, like, put an office chair in the loft.
Balanced
like,
with some
that's
beads.
It. Yeah,
between
basically.
Some insulation.
Yeah. It was, surrounded by
bad.
Asbestos.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly, yeah. And, so, yeah, I was pretty keen to go, but, like, it was incredibly stupid in retrospect, although I regret nothing.
Well, let's talk a bit more about your move to France, or as I'm going to call it, expat patch up.
Expat patch up. Do you know I've got a theme tune for you?
Have you?
Okay.
Have you?
Yeah, ready? Expat Pat, expat Pat, expat Pat's got a really big tat.
Oh my god, that's amazing. It was worth coming here just for that. Like, that was incredible.
That, of all your theme tunes, that might be my favourite. That
you
is a strong.
So welcome.
Is there another verse?
No,
no, just I quite no, no, quite just, like just that. Just
it doesn't
and
need
sweet.
Any more.
No, I think we've nutshelled you.
It's like a haiku. That haiku theme tune.
Poetic.
It's amazing. So, expat pat chat. So, I mean, as I remember, you went quite, like, extreme. Like, most people, when they say we're moving to France, they're like, we're going to find, like, a cottage in Provence, and we're going to go, and, like, we're going to make our own olive oil, but, you know, it'll be fine, because there'll be a Carrefour half a mile down the road, and, like, you know, it'll be lovely. You didn't do that, Pat. What did you do?
We moved to a place called Ballem, which was, like, in the least populous region of France, in Corrèze, and like there are boar there and deer and it was really remote, like proper sort of oldie worldy France, you know. It was very much like Madame in the house, and you know, there were sort of warm arboreals everywhere because it was the centre of the French resistance in the war. It was very traditional, and they had these enormous forests. It was very beautiful there.
But the housing was cheap!
But it was cheap, basically. So it was just like, it was pretty easy. Exactly.
House.
There was no one there. Like, but,
I wonder
like,
why.
Yeah.
So you basically thought, I know, I'm going to relive like a Stephen King novel in France.
It was a bit weird when we first moved there, because I'd never lived anywhere that isolated. You know, you could, you know, you, like, go outside and there would be no lights on. Like, if you turn the house light off, there's probably, you know, like, no one within maybe 2 kilometres or something like that.
Not even a fried chicken shop?
Not even that.
I'm never leaving Southeast London. That's what the rest of the world is like. I can't do that.
It was
amazing.
It was amazing. We decided in the end to move to an area near Strasbourg in the east. So it's just a bit livelier, really. A bit more to do.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to do in Corrèze.
So how old were the twins born when you moved?
Yeah, they were just one. But they hadn't walked. They learned to walk in France. So they've been there for...
What, like in a jaunty way?
Yeah, this is it.
Wearing that onion necklace. That's
right. Put your berets on before you start. Yeah, it's good.
Oh my God, but I mean, my son Joe, he's like just coming up to 1.5. And I struggled to get him, like, to a swimming lesson, let alone to bloody the wilds of France. Like, how did you do it?
It was awful. it was really awful. Like, you know, we didn't have, like, health insurance or anything, you know, because, like, we just didn't even look into it. So, like, before you leave, you're supposed to get your E111 or whatever. And we just didn't do it. We didn't think of any of that. We just turned up. And it's just like, we can't use a hospital, Fiona. She's just like, isn't that, like, important, Pat? I'm just relaying these conversations to you. These are as I remember them, as I sanitised them in my mind. You know what I mean? Because it was pretty hectic. I'm not going to lie to you. Et cetera, et cetera. Child benefit, just like, what child benefit? Do you know what I mean? We had child benefit in the UK, obviously, but as soon as we went to France, it's just like, you know, hello, English people. You know what I mean? It's just
Wait a minute, are you saying...
our child benefit. And they're just like, what?
So you're saying it's not actually that easy for immigrants to just live off the state? What a shocker.
Amazingly, it was really, really hard, and it took us a long time to sort everything out.
When you go from having one child to more than one child, which you do, the pressure that comes with that on your relationship is quite big.
You
get a bit fighty.
That sort of thing. It's pretty hard work. Yeah, so, like, we like, massively exacerbated that by moving to the middle of nowhere in a country in which we barely spoke the language.
But how was the food?
It was all right.
Yeah,
we had some great sunny days, you know.
Where you almost stabbed each other to death in the face.
I'll just eat a baguette and feel less angry.
I really pissed off.
Yeah.
I remember talking to you, I think the twins were maybe about 2, and I remember talking to you online one day and go, how's it going, Pat? France, brilliant. And you were like, Ellie, the children are destroying the house. And I went, oh, yeah, kids, right? I don't think I even had kids at that point. I was like, oh, God, cool, kids, wacky. And you were like, no, I mean, literally, they are peeling chunks of plaster off the walls. They are actually breaking the house. And I was like,
Oh, is the food nice?
Exactly, exactly. You'll always have the cheese.
That's it, exactly.
There's always that be cheese.
That is very true. We had days of sort of like minus 16, minus 17 degrees.
Oh.
Like, and, you know, with just, you know, driving wind and, you know.
Peter Mayle never talks about that, does he?
No.
Like
the gas freezing in the pipes and, you know what I mean? It's just crazy.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Talk about the good times, Pat.
That's it.
Bring us back.
But it was all awesome. It was all awesome. And now my kids can speak French, which is cool.
Yeah.
And where we live in a ski resort now, so they're learning to ski. They ski with the school and things like that. It's awesome.
I love how you move from, like, this really remote sort of nothing to, like, a hub of
Disneyland.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go somewhere they've got melted cheese and schnapps immediately. Let's go.
And wherever we walk, we go, voo, voo, voo. Exactly. We're in, like, hot pink polyester.
Exactly. Yeah. It's true. It's true.
I mean, who kind of broke first? Who was the first person to kind of go, do you know what, actually, this is quite shit. Why don't we live somewhere less frightening?
It was Fiona, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she had to convince me, because I went into this sort of, like, wild man phase where I, like, grew an enormous beard and had, like, really long hair. And I just took to, like, roaming the forests sort of thing.
Patrick.
And, so I was quite into that, do you know what I mean? It was pretty cool. But, yeah, but you can't do that here, do you know what I mean?
Pat, did you drink your own wee-wee? Did you drink your own piss, Pat?
I never did that.
Oh. You weren't that wild,
but you went quite Bear Grylls.
I did a little bit.
Yeah.
And Fiona, after a little while, she was just like, you know, we can't stay here like indefinitely. We can do this for a little bit, but, you know, seriously, like, we have to go somewhere where you can, like, go to a library and borrow a book.
People bang on about nature, don't they? And they go, oh, you know, kids need trees and fresh air and dirt. I mean, my kids go to a school where it's just concrete and they have to stagger the playtimes because the school was so full.
And here are
you with your nature and you're like, oh, it's too much.
Yeah,
it's too much.
It does get, I mean, it's funny that you find out what it is that you really want, do you know what I mean? And I think after a while it was pretty obvious for both of us, you know, that it was probably a little too remote.
Extreme. I mean, would you recommend France to people?
Yeah, I would. You know, it's hard. It's really hard to do what we did. I mean, but, you know, you can do it. So, I mean, I like being a foreigner in another country. I think it's, like, quite an interesting thing to do.
It's cool,
like,
isn't
really
it?
Like
yeah. You feel special.
I do.
I'm never going back to Australia.
Coming back is... I don't actually like coming back to the UK too much, I've got to be honest. I find it quite... It's really busy. It's really, really busy.
Is it like in the beach when he goes back to Bangkok and he's like, oh my God, I can't cope with it. Oh, batteries. Oh God. Oh, lights. Oh, no.
Sure, you just like go into Greg and splash your face with sausage rolls.
Pretty much, what I do.
Yeah.
I do that.
Can we get a prawn sandwich? This is it.
This is it.
When you go back to Australia, you just roll around in smashed avocado and feta, don't
you?
Oh,
that's it, yeah. Just splash my face with flat whites and really good wine.
Yeah. Give yourself a lovely shower of racism to that's right. Remind you of home.
That's right, buy some overpriced lattes. I'm back.
So, I mean, for anyone who's thinking of, like, you know, maybe doing it, maybe moving to France or whatever, what have you learned? Like, what advice would you give them?
I think you need to be pretty hot on admin. Do you know what I mean? It's really hard. And, like, all the things that you just take for granted here, just for being, like, a British citizen.
Greg's, part of the, for
exactly,
example.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Paddy Power.
Everything just goes. And you, like, you have to sort of, like, reinstate your entire life, essentially. So, like, I would say to anybody thinking of doing it, like, make sure that you can access essential services in the country that you are about to go spend the rest of your life in.
You'd almost think people didn't need to be told that, wouldn't you? But there we are. Here we are.
Sort your shit out. That's what you're basically saying.
Exactly.
You're an expat, Henry.
I am an expat, yeah.
But you moved here before you had kids, isn't it?
That's right. So I moved here 10 years ago thinking, oh, we'll just come over here for a couple of years. And yeah, and then we had kids. And I think that's one of the sort of solidifying things. And then they go to nursery and start making friends. And you make friends.
Were your kids born here?
They were born here as well. So, you know, they're British and stuff. But it was a big thing. And lots of Australians I knew, as soon as they got pregnant, they fucked off home. I went, I've been needing my mum and dad for actual support.
But we didn't do that. We went, no, no, we want to stay here. And it is hard. And also because you always feel like you're straddling two countries. Like, you've still got really good friends back home and you've got new friends here. And there's, I don't know. I mean, I'm really committed to being over here, but yeah, you still get those pangs.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't shake that.
No, no. I mean, it's one of the reasons, to be honest, that we moved to France and not somewhere that was too far away, because our parents, they're going to get older. You know, we look quite seriously at places like California, but it's like 12 hours on a plane.
Oh, boo-hoo, 12 hours. Christ.
She's done plane flights where her daughter has watched Frozen so many times that she comes off speaking like an American.
And singing! Oh, mother, I can't believe you said that to me. But it's not an easy decision. And
no.
And I think it would have been really easy for us to go back to Australia. And when we go home, people are like, oh, how do you do it? And like the stupid questions we're asking you. But you have to go, this is it. This is one life. And having kids, fuck, this is it. This is what we want to do for our kids.
Yeah.
And we like where we live. So that's it.
You do. I don't think we had any idea really when we were doing it, just, you know, how sort of serious and life-changing it would be, really. But, like, I can't ever imagine leaving France now. It's home now, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel French? You don't get French, no French.
No, it's not very smooth.
I'm going to say Helen actually just straight cuts me. It's very uncomfortable.
Getting a bit handy. I've had some champagne. Sorry. Come back, Pat. Sorry, I touched your knee. It's really inappropriate.
It's okay.
I don't think you feel sexually harassed. I don't think it's like a...
No, no, no.
It's not like a yew tree situation. I'm
very sorry.
Oh, my God.
God. It's like our Fitbits have gone off. It's like, incorrect, incorrect. A step too far.
Oh, I can't remember the question. Yes.
Sorry, beg your pardon.
Patrick. Patrice? I don't know. Do you feel French?
No, I don't think so. Like, I don't really feel particularly assigned to any nation. You know, I'm not patriotic in any way, shape,
or form. Ironically,
fuck, that's terrible.
I patted his leg.
That is terrible. You're quite right. No. I should be thrown out of Britain just for that.
That's right.
No, I feel the same way. I've never liked nationalism or patriotism. No, I find it illogical that you should feel proud of the accident of birth.
That means
you just happen to be born. Helen, on the other hand, now are you more British or Australian? What do you feel now?
There was something about when I arrived in Britain 10 years ago, when I felt home. Because I love Britain, and we were brought up to love Britain. That Britain was the, you know, because we love the royal family in Australia. Everything is built around the whole British culture.
Big fan of colonialism.
Yeah,
love that.
Oh yeah, love people who come in boats and just take your land.
That mass murder and stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice children's story. But yeah, I mean, my grandfather was from London. My great grandparents, all that sort of thing. So. Yeah, I sort of felt displaced when I was in Australia.
Right.
And then coming here was good. Like, I sort of felt at ease and happy. And I don't like the hot weather.
Yeah, I lived in Australia for a year. I went there on a working visa when I was younger, and yeah, the heat just did for me, you know. And there, it's just like, oh my god, just fucking snow or something. You know what I mean? It's just like, just stop. It's so hot.
I know. In 10 years' time, I shall move to somewhere where it's -17, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah. That'll teach you Australia.
Yeah, I'll freeze my nuts off. Yeah. Are you French?
No, I've got a British passport, but because we're in the EU, it doesn't matter.
Currently.
Yet.
At the time of recording.
Jesus.
We'll see.
Oh, because I have fantasies of living in the south of France, as most dickheads do. and I'm one of those. But yeah, it just feels like paradise.
It's cool. It's pretty cool. Though.
Yeah.
It's
really cool.
Describe your south of France vision to me, Thorn. I want to go there with you now on a journey, on a visual journey.
On a visual journey. So I want a lovely house in the hills, the vista, overlooking the sea. And I just want to be close to vineyards so I can just walk down and go, bonjour, Pierre.
Bonjour! Bonjour!
and he will fill my jug with a lovely fresh rosé, and then I'll walk back and then say hello to Marianne and grab some baguettes.
So why do you say bonjour to Pierre, but you say hello to Marianne?
Well, she's very accommodating. She's very accepting of my funny ways. And then, and then I'll go and get some fresh fish from the sea, from the little man with no teeth, and then with a funny hat. And then I will go back and just relax in my hammock. That's my dream.
Eating ham,
yeah.
That does sound nice.
That sounds pretty good.
In dappled light, and I wear a nice floppy hat.
Absolutely,
and lots of espadrilles, and I just want to be kind of semi-pissed and eating a lot of cheese into my into my later life. I think that is the dream.
It's a noble goal.
That's my main experience of France whenever I've been. So,
you start at lunchtime with a couple of rosés, go white in the afternoon, and then some nice reds over dinner. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I did have a friend there whose parents did. They sort of moved to South France, lived the dream, but they found themselves in this village of other people from, like, Lowestoft. Who start drinking at 11 o'clock and stop drinking at 11 o'clock every day. And it was really nice for about a year, and then they were like, we're going to die at 70. Well, I think that's probably enough. Expat Pat Chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Excellent. Can we have the theme tune one more time, because I did enjoy it.
Ready?
Yeah. Silence, please. Expat Pat, expat Pat, expat Pat's got a really big tat.
Which brings us neatly on to...
Yes?
Expat Pat Tat Chat.
Excellent!
I've had three glasses of Prosecco. That's
she
amazing.
She has. She's going very fruity.
So, Pat, you have genuinely what I think is the best tattoo I've ever seen.
Awesome.
Will you show it to Helen Thorne now?
Yeah.
I'm literally now.
Okay. All right.
Very exciting. Pat is removing his jumper.
He's removing his... Whoa! Oh
my goodness.
Where is it? On your body?
You're not that tattoo, Pat. The other one. The one on your arm.
Wow.
Look at that. Describe it for the listener, Patrick.
It's an octopus that's wrapped around my arm, and it's red and blue and pretty... rocky.
And so why?
Okay.
Why did you go, actually,
I'm going to colour in my whole arm?
I've got a lovely body that God gave me for all manner of things to do. But you thought, no, actually, I want a permanent
sleeve. Yeah, I want to colour it in.
Yeah.
I'd always wanted one, and, you know, I'd always been sort of, like, fascinated by them as a sort of younger person. When my daughter was born, you know, I felt, you know, very strongly that I'd like to commemorate it. So,
Meredith's name... Was it something to do with the birth that you wanted an octopus?
No. Meredith's name means, it means Defender of the Sea in Welsh.
I see.
And that was why I did it.
You could have got Shirley Bassey. But you thought, octopus.
Yeah. And how long did that take? Like, for a full arm tat?
It's about 36 hours. It really, really hurts. Yeah, I'm not gonna
You're not gonna sugarcoat that.
Anyone that says that tattooing doesn't hurt is a liar. Yeah, there you go. But I'm about...
Can I be rude? How much did it cost?
I think it was about 120 euros per hour, I think.
Okay, so I can do maths. A lot.
I actually can't.
Like, you could buy a car.
You could, yeah, it was expensive. Yeah. It's expensive.
But if it's something you're going to have the rest of your life, like you want to...
Like a child.
Yeah. you want it to be right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a big commitment. Like getting married, you know.
It is. I'm about to have another one.
Where?
Well, I'm as yet undecided exactly. It's either going to be a full right sleeve or my entire torso.
Ooh.
From neck to pube sort of thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Have you heard of a show called The Tattoo Fixers?
It's
one of my favourite television shows in the entire world. Mm. And people go in going, I was in a bean farm and I got a picture of Keith Lemon on my bum. And then they turn it into a skull. It's really awesome.
Cool.
Steve Hill told me about a documentary where people got really pissed in Ibiza and get tattoos, and like it's the morning after, and like there was this one bloke, and on his foot, just above his toe, he had camel.
Oh, shut up.
That's just a mistake.
One of my favourite ones was a man had got a tattoo of a naked woman on his chest, but her nipple was his nipple.
Oh.
And he said, really put off the women. I was like, yeah, it would. Yeah.
There's an idea for you, Pat. Have you got a mood board for the torso? Have you got a big arrow hairway to heaven type thing? Or any other ideas?
Pleasure garden.
I'm not entirely sure yet.
Maybe they have a lion representing the UK and a cock.
A flag. Yeah. This is a huge cock and the British flag.
Yeah. I'm thinking cock and lion together as one pat. Okay.
Maybe you could get a Scummy Mummies tattoo.
That would be a really great idea.
We won't charge you very much for the licensing. I remember talking to you about your tat when you were getting it and sort of saying, because by then you were like, you were living quite a straight life. You know, you had these, I think Meredith a baby then?
She was, yeah. But yeah. I'd stopped drinking as well. So it was kind of something that I wanted to do to sort of, I don't know. It felt like a big turning point in my life, you know, like I'd, got married and had a daughter and stopped drinking and, you know, it was all... It felt pretty new.
Because famously, Pat was like, he was the sort of Keith Richards of video games journalism. You were very wild. And I mean, the stories.
Yeah, I had to stop drinking. Yeah. I was a bit of a mess.
What was the moment where you thought, no,
The bit where Fiona sort of said to me, stop drinking or I'll leave you.
Ooh, yeah, that's a turning point.
That was a decision I had to make. Yeah.
How did you get through it?
I just kept on reminding myself of why I was doing it, basically. But, like, to be honest, I'd wanted to stop for ages, and it was really, you know... I haven't had a drink since. It's been 12 years.
How are you going to deal... Because your kids are obviously still quite young. How are you going to deal with, like, telling them about drugs and alcohol and stuff? Are you going to be straight with them about your own past?
Yeah, eventually. But, like, not yet, obviously. I'm sure, you know, when they're adults, you know, I'm sure they'll... I'm sure they'll figure it out.
When they listen to this podcast.
Yeah, this is it. Sorry. Sorry about that. We're very honest with them as parents, you know. We answer all of their questions, you know. We don't really have too many taboo subjects with them. But I haven't told them that I was an alcoholic drug addict, no. Not yet.
Yeah. No. But that day will come. Two things. Number one, Santa Claus isn't real. Number two, brace yourselves.
Brave safe, kids. Brave safe.
Oh, yeah, because I don't know. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, like, I still have a cheeky cigarette and things like that. And my husband goes, how are you going to tell the kids? I was like, with honesty.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, yeah, I have never smoked in front of the kids, and it's my dirty, not, it's not dirty. I'm a grown up. It's okay. No. I occasionally have a cigarette, just as a, as
I mean,
a,
it stinks and it'll kill you, but it's not dirty. You know, you're right. Carry on. Just leave me here on my own. Scummy mummy.
I know. I should probably quit, but I only have it really occasionally because my mum listens to this podcast. But you know, they will have to, you know, hear the truth, and that is fine.
Yeah.
And also, like, I will know if they're lying to me as well. I feel like I'm a really experienced parent. Like if I've done naughty things in the past, I'll be able to suss them out. And you'll be very equipped for teenagers. Maybe they'll be really straight though. Maybe
I hope so. I really hope so. I really hope
you've
so,
done all the bad for
hopefully
them.
Hopefully they'll rebel.
Yeah,
and live, you know, completely clean lives. We will see. I suspect not. Like I don't want to tempt fate, but we'll see.
But are they, I mean, where you are and you're, you know, clean living, really. You're melted cheese and skiing.
It's very sporty.
And you're going to stay there until they finish high school and everything?
Yeah, we're going to stay there until they go off to university.
And then where next?
I don't know. We'll see. We talked about the Alps.
We talked about just moving to a hole in the ice in the Arctic. And then deciding that we should go to Stockholm. Space. We're going to colonize Mars.
That's right. Finally.
Once man is to Oxford, it'll be in the shuttle with Branson.
You only live once.
That's right. A little bit hot in the summer, but you know, a bit dry. But you know, it's great.
No good for hay fever.
She wants to move to Germany. She talks about Germany a lot. Yeah.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Helen has nothing positive to say about Germany. Clearly.
No. The bread's nice.
They've got architecture, haven't they?
I bet it's had a nice cake there.
They've got a female prime minister, which is great.
That's true.
Yeah, that she's great. She likes her. She likes jackets.
There we go. Germany, done.
Okay, well, we've talked about tats. We've done a chat with expat Pat. Now it's time for book chat.
That was so smooth. That was amazing. So, Pat, you're writing a book.
Yeah.
What's it called? What's it about?
It's called Deg, and it's out in the autumn. I don't really know what it's about. It's about lots of different things. But mainly it's about the way that sort of screen-based technology robs us of our humanity.
Oh, is it a romantic comedy?
No.
Is it based on a guy who loses his mind and goes into the forest?
There are bits of that in there.
Gets a tattoo.
Obviously, I am really excited that it's happening. And I've got Steve Pickford, who's a well-known games artist. He's doing the art for it, which is amazing. And I just couldn't be happier, really. I'm really, really pumped.
How did you do it? How did you get a book deal?
Did loads of writing. Yeah. Sent my book off a lot. And in the end, someone said yes, which was pretty amazing, really, because I was starting to seriously believe that, you know, I would have to write many books for anything to happen.
Famously, Watch It Down, I think, got 38 rejections.
How many did it get? I don't know. Probably about maybe 15 or something.
Right. Did you keep all the letters? Are you one of those guys?
It's all email. There's no romance in it anymore. It's just like you just throw your shit at agents and they just go no.
It's like dating, isn't it? You've got to have a few bad dates and then you're like, no, this is who I'm gonna
it sort of gets to the point, you know, you get rejected the first few times and you're just like, you know, it does hurt.
You know nothing.
This is it really does hurt. You get into a little strop.
Yeah.
And, you know, bang cups and things like that. And but after the sort of, you know, like 30th, 40th rejection. It's just, you don't even need to open the email anymore.
No.
I just file it away. Bye.
Yeah.
You know, you're definitely not French. If your idea of a massive strop is banging some cups, you are still British, Patrick.
A little.
Zut alors, bang, bang, bang. I am done.
Well, how do you fit in? Because you have got like a job. That's what I struggle with. You know, having to work all day and then have the energy and the motivation to sit down and do something else. That does feel like work. Or maybe writing doesn't feel like work to you, I don't know.
Oh, no,
his
does,
children yeah. sleep, Illy.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they're old ones.
Yeah, the old ones
that can wipe their own ass.
It's true. Like, the output, the increase in output did actually come, like, with my children getting a little bit older, because then all of a sudden I didn't have to look after them for, like, 20 hours a day or whatever. So.
That's what we're doing wrong.
We peaked at the wrong time. But then how do you manage that with Fiona? Like, because then...
Well, she works all the time anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, we just sit in our sort of office at our computers typing until bedtime. It's a thrilling relationship.
Aren't all relationships with kids that cool?
Has Fiona read it?
No, she hasn't. Seriously.
Really?
Like, it's like a bone of contention. She just always says she's too busy, Ellie, you know.
Oh, I see. So you've offered for her to read
it. She's going to wait for the for the final thing. So she's gonna read it in published form.
And then discover that the heroine, Biona, is like... But you've done it. You've done the dream. The dream, like, before, people would say, you know, everyone has a book in them. I think I've just got a limerick. Yeah. But, you know, but it is everyone's secret dream, or a lot of people's secret dream, to actually just write a novel out of nothing and then get it published. Yeah, and that's amazing. Yeah, so what tips have you got for anyone who has a book in them?
Oh, my God. I just think you just have to write your book. And then write another one, then write another one, until, you know, in the end something happens or not, or you die, basically. I've been writing sort of creatively as an adult, I suppose, since I was like 17. You know, I decided at 17 that what I wanted to do was write novels, you know. So it's been, like, I'm 43 now, so it has taken, like, literally, like, 26 years of non-stop writing, basically, to get a book published. So, like, if I was to give any advice to a would-be novelist, it's basically like you just can't ever stop. You just can't stop, because as soon as you stop, it's done, isn't it? You know, you're never going to make it, and that's it, really. That's the only advice you need.
So the drive within you to do this, was you wanted to be published, or you just wanted to write?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to do both, really.
You'd like other people to read it too, this not just
it.
You.
This is it. Exactly.
Typing away in the little house in France in the hills.
Yeah, yeah.
Eating your little dicky cheese.
In your building. Buying the fish off the man with the funny hat.
Yeah, exactly.
With the
cigarette that he never butts. It's just all ash at the right side of his mouth.
It's important to have goals.
That's right, and he's only got one lace on one shoe.
My God, this is really vivid.
You can paint detailed.
Cool. Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, there we are. Book chat.
Excellent.
I am very excited because normally Helen does the games. I have come up with a game, and it's called To Brie or Not To Brie. So the idea behind this game is that, Pat, because you've been living in France for a long time,
right,
obviously you must now be an expert on cheese.
Okay.
Yep. And go with me. Just go with me. Right. And Helen, obviously, you eat a lot of cheese.
I do, yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to blindfold you and I'm going to ask you to guess which cheese you are eating. And I've got some comedic clues to help you on, which are cheese jokes that I nicked off BuzzFeed. What the fuck did go wrong? Okay, here is your first cheese. Okay.
Sticky.
I'm going to eat it as well so you're not alone.
All right.
Name that cheese.
Camembert.
That's Brie.
Correct! Pat Garrett! Straight in there. Yum. See, it's because he's nearly French. Now, the clue for a bonus point, the clue for that one would have been, what music does cheese listen to?
What? Oh, Beyonce.
R and Brie.
Oh my God, I'm going to wear my pants. Good.
Here is the next cheese, Helen. Right. Now, while you're eating this cheese, I want you to think, what hotel does cheese stay at?
Ah! The Stilton.
Yes!
No!
Oh my God.
It's really nice. Blindfolded gang. Oh my God. It's like he's a hostage.
I'm fucking blindfolded eating Stilton, Alan.
Oh my God. That's really nice. Stilton. Where is it from?
Sainsbury's.
Oh, I love Sainsbury's.
Now, the clue for this cheese is, what cheese do you need to be very cautious with?
Wow.
You don't have to eat all of it.
Is it feta?
No. What have that got to do with being cautious?
No, but it's the cheese feta.
But it has to tie into both things.
All right. Is this Wensleydale?
No. What's that got to do with being cautious?
It's like sort of
it's
crumbly.
Salty.
I've no idea. I've got to be honest.
Carefully.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Illy.
Your final cheese.
Oh, my God.
This one is very gooey indeed. This is a soft cheese.
Oh, it is soft.
Now, for your final clue, what cheese can be used to hide a horse?
Nay, pony.
I'm not.
Mascarpone!
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
Cheese quiz!
Cheese quiz!
That is the end of the cheese quiz.
Wow. That was amazing.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
How do you feel, Pat?
That was fucking intense.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Can take that back to France, if you can have that.
Wow.
Oh, we've almost come to the end of the podcast.
We have.
But before we go, of course we're going to have Scummy Mummy Confessions. Helen, what have you got for us?
My Scummy Mummy Confession was from tonight, and I had finally given Ellie back a bag of stuff that you'd left at my house. And I'd completely forgotten what it was. And when we untied it, I realised it was two dirty bibs and an old Tommy Tippy that had all gone mouldy. And it was gross. And Ellie had to put it straight into the bin.
Off it went. My scummy moaning confession is that just this morning, Joe, who is sort of nearly 1.5 now, was on the bed and he was sort of, you know, when you just sense impending doom. And I could see him going for this pint of water on the bedside table. And I thought, right, I'll pick up the pint of water. And then kind of as I did that, I saw him sort of just launch himself forward. And I thought, oh no, he's going to launch himself off the bed. So I went to grab him and stop him falling off the bed. And in the process, managed to tip the whole pint of water over him. But, you know, I dried him off and gave him a biscuit and everything's fine. So, Pat, do you have a scabby daddy confession?
I was taking Mary's skiing this winter. And the ski resort that we live in, Jeremy, it does get very busy when there's lots of snow. We had to park like miles away from the actual piece. And I, you know, I'd been driving around for ages, like trying to find somewhere to park. And they had the cars queued up on the road going down. There was a space on the right, but I was like crawling along, like being like quite sort of slow. And because I didn't indicate to move into the space, the guy behind me like honked his horn. And I just lost it completely. I was just like, fuck you, man. You know what I mean? Don't honk your fucking horn at me. You know what I mean? Like, so I pulled into the space.
Did you say you know what I mean in a London accent? Because I'm sure that really helped diffuse the situation.
I was saying this in the car. Like, and like Meredith was like sat in the back, just like looking puzzled.
Daddy.
And like I got out of the car and like he sort of drove past really slowly. And, like, with Meredith just sat behind me, I gave him the finger, like, right to his face. I was just, like, completely, I just, like, you know, I didn't care.
You went all, England!
Yeah, this is it. It was just
five
like
fucking space, guys. Yeah, five fucking space.
And he like drove around the corner, and I just stood there with my fingers up at him in the middle of the street, just going, fuck you, like this. And Meredith was just sat in the car. And I could see his wife or, you know, the lady sitting next to him in the car sort of saying the French equivalent of just like, oh, just fucking leave it.
You
know, just
fucking you might have a knife. God, did you talk about it with Meredith afterwards?
I did, yes. We have talked about it.
What did you say?
I was just honest with her. I just, you know, I apologised. I said, look, I'm really sorry, you know.
Daddy's a psychopath.
This is it. Yeah. And I wanted that man dead. I'm terribly sorry to have put you through that.
Anyway, darling, let's go skiing. Yeah. Anyway, we live in Europe. Let's hope... let's put it this way, darling. Have you seen the film Taken? You've nothing to be afraid of. You've nothing to be afraid of. I'm your father. I'll take care of it. Well, that is the end of the podcast, isn't it?
That's right. We've had expat pat chat. We've had expat pat tat chat. And we've had book chat and a cheese game. So,
what is not to like?
That is a fucking excellent podcast.
That's value. That's value.
Jesus Christ. Please follow us on the Twitter at Scummy Mummies, Instagram, and that old Facebook lark.
That's right. And please keep an eye on scummymummies.com for details of our live show. Thank you so much, Pat, for coming all the way from France to be on the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Thank you. It was an honour. It was awesome. Thank you very much.
Until next time. Bye-bye. The clue for this cheese,
ooh, sticky,
is what cheese can be used to encourage a bear?
It's camembert.
Oh, it's nice camembert too. Good.
Come on, bear!
Come on, bear! Come on, bear! Oh, that's lovely. Are you all right, Pat? Sorry.
I'm fine.
You can ring your wife. They blindfolded me. They sexually assaulted me.
They made me sit on my face, and then I had to eat cheese. While Ellie read out the worst jokes in the world.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.